read to you Psalm 76. To the chief musician on stringed instruments, a psalm of Asaph, song. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. There he broke the arrows of the bow, the shield and sword of battle, Selah. You are more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted were plundered. They have sunk into their sleep, and none of the mighty men have found the use of their hands. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse were cast into a dead sleep. You yourself are to be feared, and who may stand in your presence when once you are angry? You caused judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still when God arose to judgment to deliver all the oppressed to the earth. Selah. Surely the wrath of man shall praise you. With the remainder of wrath you shall gird yourself. Make vows to the Lord your God and pay them. Let all who are around him bring presents to him who ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is awesome to the kings of the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our God and our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this psalm, and we pray that as we meditate on your majesty revealed in the person of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, that we might worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. One of the most dramatic incidents in the life of our Lord Jesus is his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas betrays Jesus and brings a contingent of armed soldiers to apprehend him, both soldiers of the Jewish high priest and Roman soldiers. When the soldiers arrive, the Apostle John tells us that Jesus, quote, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, whom are you seeking? Right, Jesus didn't retreat in fear, but boldly met his persecutors. And John alone then records what happened next. They answered him, John 18, verse 5. They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth, right? We seek Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now, when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Right? Jesus identifies himself as the one they are seeking, and immediately they draw back in fear. Well, why? The answer lies in Jesus' response. Right? For the words that Jesus speaks in answer to their declaration, right? We are seeking Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus' response is literally, ego eimi, I am. And in John's gospel, these words are a clear revelation of Jesus' divine nature. Jesus said earlier to the Jews who complained against him, he said to them, amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. John 8:58. And the Jews took up stones to stone him, for they understood what he was claiming. He was claiming to be God himself, the God who had revealed himself as I am who I am to Moses at the burning bush. So here come Jesus' arresters. Jesus demands, whom do you seek? They respond, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus unveils a bit of his divine glory and says to them, I am. And they drew back, and they fell to the ground. Who was in charge of this situation? Jesus thinks, or Judas thinks, that he is. The commanders think, of course, that they are. But Jesus reveals, I am. He goes willingly to his death because he wants to please his Father, not because he is powerless before his persecutors. He goes willingly to his death because he wants to please his Father, not because he's powerless before his persecutors. He is the majestic God, and all men should bow before him. And we will either do so in homage and obedience or in fear and judgment. But bow we certainly shall. For the child whose birth we celebrate this day is God himself, clothed in human flesh. And it's of this God that our psalm sings. I've divided Psalm 76 into three stanzas. The first stanza addresses God in the third person, he and his, in verses 1 through 3, and celebrates him as the one who loves and protects his people, right? Celebrates him as the one who loves and celebrates and protects his people. The second stanza changes to the second person, you, yours, in verses 4 through 10, and praises your glorious judgment, O Lord, that destroys your enemies and vindicates your people. The final stanza then returns to the third person, him, he, in verses 11 and 12, and summons all peoples and kings, rulers of the earth, to pay homage to Yahweh, the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, the first stanza celebrates God as the one who loves and protects his people. Notice verses 1 through 3. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. There he broke the arrows of the bow, the shield and sword of battle, Selah. Right, God has revealed himself. And he has revealed his name, Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God, I am who I am, among his people. And he has established his tabernacle in Jerusalem, the city of God. This, notice verses 1 and 2. Right, which, right, his tabernacle, his dwelling place in the new covenant, is the church of God. Here is Mount Zion. Here is his dwelling place. We are the temple of the living God, and the Spirit of God dwells in our midst, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Hence, right, to attack the church, to attack God's dwelling place, is to attack God himself. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, immediately after declaring, you are the temple of God to the Corinthian congregation. He says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you all are. God protects and defends his dwelling place. There, right, notice verse 3, there, that is in Jerusalem, in the city of God, in his holy dwelling place, the church of God, there he broke the arrows of the bow, the shield and sword of battle. God protects his people. So the second stanza then praises the God who defends his dwelling place, praises the God who vindicates his people and judges his enemies. Again, it changes from the third person, a description of God, to the second person, speaking directly to God. You, verse 4, you are more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted were plundered. They have sunk into their sleep, and none of the mighty men have found the use of their hands. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse were cast into a dead sleep. You yourself are to be feared, and who may stand in your presence when once you are angry? You caused judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still when God arose to judgment to deliver all the oppressed of the earth. Selah. Surely, the wrath of men shall praise you. With the remainder of wrath, you shall gird yourself. There are many who think that the occasion of this psalm was the destruction of Sennacherib's army, the slaughter of the 185,000 men in a single night by the angel of the Lord. You may recall Byron's poem that I quoted for you a couple weeks ago. Such an occasion would certainly fit the language here, right? God is far superior to any earthly beastly kingdom. Verse 4, right? You are more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. Mountains are places from which the enemy would come. And though the enemies of God are like animals that prey on the sheep of God's pasture, yet God is more excellent and glorious than any of those who would prey on his people. He demonstrates his power by plundering the stout-hearted and putting them in the sleep of death so that they can no longer use their skill, their hands, verse 5. At God's rebuke, that is, at his mere word, all the military might of the enemy is vanquished, verse 6. Hence, it is God who is to be feared. For when once his anger is roused, who may stand before him? Verse 7. Right, at God's rebuke, Pharaoh perished in the Red Sea. At God's rebuke, Sennacherib's army was slain. At God's rebuke, Nebuchadnezzar was reduced to a beast. At God's rebuke, Belshazzar's kingdom fell to the Persians. At God's rebuke, Herod Antipas was eaten by worms. The earth itself trembles before God and watches in awe as he accomplishes the salvation of his oppressed people, verses 8 and 9. Right, those who are slighted and persecuted by the world for their humble allegiance to God. God delivers his people. So great is the Lord's power that he turns even the wrath of man to his praise, using it to adorn his sovereign purpose, verse 10. Surely, the wrath of man shall praise you. With the remainder of wrath, you shall gird yourself, right? Adorn yourself. So Herod slaughters the little children in order that the word of God might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt, I called my son. When Joseph leads his family back to Judea, Herod's son is ruling, and so Joseph, warned in a dream, settles in Nazareth that it might be fulfilled, he shall be called a Nazarene. Even the wrath of man, man's attempts to thwart God's purposes, to persecute his people and deride his laws, right? Even the wrath of man adorns the purposes of God. This is the majestic God, the God who turns everything to fulfill his purposes. As another Joseph declared to his brethren, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. Genesis 50, verse 20. God rules among the sons of men, and God's purposes stand. And it's this majestic God whom we worship. He is more glorious and excellent than any and all beastly rulers, men who think that might makes right. God is the Lord. And so this brings us to the third stanza, which summons all peoples and rulers to pay homage to Yahweh, the living God. Notice the conclusion of the psalm, verses 11 and 12. Make vows to the Lord your God and pay them. Let all who are around him bring presents to him who ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is awesome to the kings of the earth. Right, how ought we respond to the greatness of Yahweh, the God of Jacob, the God who dwells among his people? We ought to pay homage to him. We ought to make vows in his name and pay, that is, fulfill them. Don't make vows in the name of other gods, in other words. And you don't swear by their power and wisdom or strength. Swear by the God of all the earth. And when you have sworn, fulfill what you have sworn, right? Further, bring presents to him as tribute. Bring your tithes and offerings into his presence, acknowledging him as your sovereign Lord, because he is the ruler of all the kings of the earth. He is more powerful than any earthly ruler. This psalm ends much like Psalm 2 with its great celebration of God's Messiah. Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Right? Was not this what the Magi did? They, as earthly rulers, sought out God's king and bowed before him and paid homage to him and brought presents before him. For they recognized in him the fulfillment of God's promise. Indeed, God himself clothed in human flesh. So what does Psalm 76 announce to us this Christmas day? It invites us to worship the majestic God who took on human flesh in order to judge the wickedness of men like Herod and Archelaus and vindicate the oppressed like Zacharias, Elizabeth, Mary, Joseph, Simeon, and Anna, our fathers and mothers. Our psalm celebrates Jesus as the one who loves and protects his people and whose power as God's exalted king seated at the Father's right hand should be feared by all men and nations. And the psalm summons all peoples and kings of the earth to pay homage to Jesus, lest they be struck down by the child who's now become a man and who rules in righteousness and judgment over all the kings of the earth. And so as we come to his table, let us rejoice in him, make vows to him, and bring presents to him who ought to be feared. Let us give thanks. Our God and our Father, we thank you that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that you have seated him at your right hand on the throne of his father David, there to rule and to reign until all his enemies are subdued beneath his feet. We would come willingly, O Lord, we would come willingly this day to pay homage to him, to acknowledge him as your King, the one whom you have installed and the one to whom we are to pay tribute. We thank you for the example of the Magi. We thank you that in them you demonstrate your purpose to cause the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ to spread to all the nations of the earth. Grant as we celebrate this day, as we celebrate the incarnation of our Savior, grant that we might love, bring, and have joy in him, that we might celebrate with joy the giving of your Son in giving one to another. We do this, we pray all this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.